Now, supercomputers are, as the name suggests, extremely powerful computing devices. They're used to model extremely complicated systems, such as the weather, as well as for high-precision simulations and complex calculations required in quantum physics. So that might be molecular modelling, might even be predicting revolutions and many, many more things. Now, the Edinburgh Parallel Computing Centre, or EPCC, provides computing resources to Edinburgh University and to industry. And we're joined by Dr. Chris Maynard. Hello.
Hello.
So can you tell us what is a supercomputer?
A supercomputer is a computer that can perform calculations very quickly, much faster than a normal computer would. Typically, this is done by computing in parallel, having lots of processing units or nodes working together. Each of these nodes could be a computer one finds in a desktop PC or a laptop, but how they're connected together in hardware and how they cooperate to solve the problem is very important to the speed of the calculation.
What is the structure then? How big are these things going to be, and what is their power consumption and the speed of the individual parts that go into it?
So, for instance, we run Hector, which is the UK's National High Performance Computing Service, along with other partners, and this is funded by the Office of Science and Technology through EPSERC's High-End Computing Programme. And this particular machine is called Hector, and it's a Cray XE6. It has 1,856 nodes in it, and each of these nodes is a 12-core Opteron processor. So that gives you a total of 44,544 cores. Each of these Opterons is coupled with a Cray Gemini routing and communication chip. So in total, it has a very large memory of about 60 terabytes, and its theoretical peak performance is 360 teraflops, which is 360 trillion computations per second, and it's the fastest computer in the UK and the 24th fastest in the world.
Okay, so those are really sky-high numbers then. I mean, that's going to throw my poor little ancient laptop into the shade. But once you've got this hardware, what is the software that goes on top of that? How does it work compared to a normal program that you'd have on an everyday computer?
The bit that makes a supercomputer super is how these computing nodes are coupled together. So you have some hardware that does it, but you have to then write some software that will enable them to talk to each other. Typically, what for science programming, what you might have is a model of message passing. So we would split the problem up across many processors so that each processor has a small amount of data that's local to it. Then each processor runs the same calculation on this local data, but at some point during the calculation, and quite regularly during the calculation, the processors have to talk to each other, they have to communicate with each other. So they would send a message to your neighbour, and there's a communication grid, and they would speak to each other by, you would send some data to your neighbour on the right, and you would receive it from your neighbour on the left, and then you might do that in many dimensions, like down, left, right, back, forth, depending on the problem.
Okay, so given you've got this communication type software, does that mean then that you develop that rather than rebuilding a new supercomputer each time? Because obviously the expense of that must be huge.
Yes, absolutely. So you would try and have this programming model that you would use so that all these processors can talk to each other, and you'd write a scientific program in a language you would normally use, like C or Fortran. And then if you were going to use this message passing model, there's a communications library called MPI, which you can then use on more than one machine.
Okay, and are supercomputers, are they advancing at the same rate that normal computers are?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because that they are, but there's something called Moore's Law, which is an empirical observation, which is that the number of transistors in an area of silicon has doubled every 18 months or so. And this has been true since the 60s, and if you have a smaller circuit, your computer can run faster, but it also runs hotter. And since perhaps the middle of this decade, since 2005 or so, it's been no longer possible to get sufficient power into and out of a chip fast enough, and so it gets too hot. So you can't run it as one computer chip anymore, but what you can do is run them as two chips or four chips or many more chips, so you're getting many more cores on one piece of silicon. But now, if you're running this, having many of these nodes together that are then multi-core, you've now got an even more complicated communication pattern between things that can see the same piece of memory on one chip and things that can't, that then have to communicate to send a message between the chips.
So really it's like building a brain, essentially, with lots of neurons. But what sort of science are you doing in Edinburgh? What are the models that you're building with your supercomputer?
Let me give you an example. So last week you talked about scientists modelling the response to the heart of drugs. Well, at EPCC we've done some work with some scientists from King's College in Oxford to improve the performance of their computational model of the electrophysiology of the heart. So it can now run on many more processors or cores than it could previously, up to now, say, 16,000. And this means they can do a one-second simulation of the heart, which would take around a minute rather than, say, more than 1 hour previously. This is a great improvement and it goes much faster, but if you want to use this model to, say, guide surgery, then you need to be able to do it in real time.
I see. So this could really help medicine as well and help surgeons while they're working.
Absolutely. Another example might be if you look into the night sky tonight, you can see just beyond the plough, you can see a supernova has exploded. And if you want to try and understand how a supernova works, you might try and run a calculation on a supercomputer.
Right, OK. So thanks, Chris. Chris Maynard will be sticking around. He will be here to answer some questions. If you do want to send them in, please send them to chris@thenakedscientists.com. That's Chris Maynard from the Edinburgh Parallel Computing Centre.